You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We'll get to Ron McGill in a second to do what is weekly one of our most popular segments around here. We just learn about the animals. But first, someone has threatened us with real talk.
Mm. Oh, snap.
That's right. And the real talk is, why does Roy even go through the hassle of booking guests if Billy Big Mouth ass is going to talk the whole damn time they're on? Just give the whole show to Billy and be done with it. Go Canes.
It's cocaine.
Is that guy?
Billy thought that was Billy, you thought that was directed at you instead of Billy Corbin, correct?
Yeah, I'm not liking this whole thing. And here's another thing, Dan. Well, let me not say that. Never mind.
Okay, excellent start to the
really?
Show.
Nice. I was going to complain about something, but I can't go into details because I realize it's going to reveal too much information. It was going to be about the email situation here and how things kind of work and names were assigned. And I don't like the name that I got on mine. That's all I'm going to say. Mm. No, I can't change it. That's
what?
The law.
Lord Byron says you can change it.
Mm. Me and Byron are... Shooting.
All right. Excellent start, Billy. Thank you, as always, for your contributions. I also have some breaking news that'll make Billy happy on the Tua front on the NFL Network.
Starting the Pro Bowl.
Kyle Brandt, better than that. Kyle Brandt has taken Tua's image of ice in his veins and made it his Hall of Fame image of the week.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations, yes. Billy. It's a big day for you, big day for South Florida.
Quick update, the jersey's in Doral on its way.
If he makes angry runs, I'm going to have to change my mind about all this.
We made it last year. I think
last
he,
year
made,
he had an angry
he
run.
Had an
he
angry, he yes. had an angry run last year where the linebacker was in that position of, I'm terrified to get a penalty, and the quarterback should all be taking advantage of that. There's so many bad calls this weekend protecting quarterbacks.
If I may, I like this new look that you've debuted today with the slick back hair. You kind of look a little badass. Yeah, I like it. Slick back.
Ron McGill has had his hair slick back since when?
Since I haven't had any hair.
Same with Dan.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill to open us up this weekend?
Ron, they are trying to reintroduce cheetahs into the country of India. Is this a good idea?
That's a great idea. They historically were there. I know Lori Marker, the Cheetah Conservation Fund, the people that are working on that project, they've flown some cheetahs up there. I think it's a great idea. Again, because they were historically there and they kind of were extirpated during time when people were catching them for pets and using them to hunt for their own personal little sport. I think it's a great idea. So I fully support that.
Tyreek Hill.
There you go, the cheetah.
Thank you.
Which are the
that
ones?
Guy was so wide open, it was ridiculous.
Which are the ones? Were you excited this weekend, Ron? When was the last time
you were that? I was super excited. I was super excited. You know, for the longest time, I always thought the Dolphins just hated me. And all of a sudden, now we've got a team. We've got something going on there. I mean, I just think those two receivers add so much to the weapon package. You know, they got to come up. I'm sure you guys have talked about this.
No,
already,
no.
Coming up with a nickname for these two guys.
We have not talked about coming up with a nickname.
It's really good. Remember the Marx Brothers? We got to come up with a nickname for those two guys because this is the Wackage. The next generation.
Weapon package?
Got it.
Wackage is terrible.
Weps.
It sounds like they're whack.
I mean, it sounds like right up your alley, but it sounds terrible.
This guy gets it.
Waddle, Ron, but I mean, so you have one is a cheetah, the other does the waddle penguin dance.
Cheetah and a penguin.
Cheetah and a penguin, is there anything there?
You know, listen, penguins fly fast as hell in the water. You know, dolphins are a marine mammal, so there's some little alliance there. The cheetah, you know, enough said about the cheetah. I mean, that guy is just unbelievable. He was worth every penny they spent on him. God forbid he hurt himself somewhere in the season, but man, that guy...
Hey, Ron.
I know. I'm sorry, Roy. I'm sorry.
Ron, but I hate to break it to you. Those penguins aren't flying underwater.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be in the air, Ron.
It's called swimming, Ron.
Yep.
Heck of an animal expert we got here.
Yep.
Okay. You know, the bottom line is you got two great receivers there. I think Tua has demonstrated that he can throw a long ball. We got a weapons package. And I think the tight end, Kosicki, is one of the best tight ends in the league.
Ron is dying. Anyone in South Florida just wants to be near the feel-good of football being good for 2 minutes around here. He's dying to talk about it. Can you tell us, when it comes to these packages that are put together to try and help cheetahs or other animals, Ron, which are the ones you look at around the world that are most invigorating to you or most exciting to you when you look about, you know, the conservation efforts that are working?
Well, I think, you know, California condor is the poster child. I mean, this is an animal where there were 22 birds left in the wild. They decided they had to catch them all up to have a captive breeding program with the hopes of releasing them back into the wild. Now there are hundreds of birds flying in the wild. I saw some not too long ago flying right over the Grand Canyon. And these are birds that would be extinct had it not been for zoos working together to breed them in captivity and release them back in the wild. That's a great story. The panda, this iconic animal, World Wildlife Fund symbol, was an animal that was endangered and just recently taken off the endangered species list because of all the attention given to the animal and the protection given to the animal. So there's some really good success stories out there. I mean, the bald eagle is another one right here in our own backyard. 1972, that animal is a highly endangered species. Now I see them flying over the zoo every day. So it's fantastic.
Ron, we hear lots of reports of the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, yeah, stuff like that. After 469 yards and 6 touchdowns, is Tua for real?
I think Tua is for real. I hesitate to go crazy on this, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I'm also a University of Florida grad. I watched Florida Gators beat Utah, and I was jumping up and down in front of the television just like I was during this Baltimore game, and then I saw what happened next. So I need to see some consistency, but I think that is more on Tua's court than anybody else's. I think these two receivers, Waddle and Hill, are just, man, they're freaking unbelievable. These guys watching them just – they seem like they can't be stopped. I think everybody in the stadium knew that the ball was going to one of those two guys, and they still couldn't stop it.
The Wackage.
Mm-hmm.
Roy, what else do you have for Ron McGill? We cannot have Tua infiltrate every aspect of the show.
Yes,
we can't do it.
Yeah, he deserves it.
A moth with the wingspan of about 10 inches was found in Washington State. What does that mean for the local environment?
Wow.
What? A moth?
Yeah,
they got a big moth living in town. That's about it. This is not, they're not predators. They're not disease carriers.
It means exactly what it is.
Doesn't mean much of anything.
It's a species.
What do you think it would mean, Roy? Like, do you
no
think,
no? Is it like an invasive species?
Man. It's an awfully big moth. In Roy's defense, I mean, it is.
It's a big moth, but that's great. It's a great big moth. I mean, you know, so you got a big moth living in a neighborhood that hopefully people go out to look for it, see how cool it is.
Okay, it's not interesting in any way, is what you're saying. There are no extrapolations. Roy's question is fundamentally useless, other than asking you.
Is that useless? I thought the question was trying to ask me as to whether this can have some kind of impact on the environment. And I think the real impact it has is that, holy crap, we got a really big moth living here. Let's like a look at this. Let's get excited about it. Maybe let's try to protect the thing. You know, maybe see when we save environments, we make things welcoming for different species. It can give us all kinds of great, even if it's nothing less than entertainment. When you see a 10-inch, you know, white moth flying through in front of your house, that's going to open your eyes, man.
Ron, what do moths do? And should I be afraid of them? Because, like, I don't like moths when they're flying around the lights outside of my house. But do they do anything? They're like, eat clothes?
You know, they pollinate, man. They pollinate. That's a real important part of our quality of life. And they provide food for other animals, too.
Ron, there's been some debate about introducing AI to the animal kingdom, particularly when it comes to whales and dolphins being able to communicate with them. So that begs a question. If Tua were a righty, would the national perception of him be totally different?
I think being a lefty is always an advantage in sports. Always. I think he's got a little bit of an advantage being a lefty, because I think we inherently play defensively against right-handed people. So there's a big advantage.
That's a very fair point. He's right about that.
But in terms of being in society, it's an uphill battle because the chance of dying for lefties is higher than righties because the world was designed for righties in mind.
Well, not if you're the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins and making millions of dollars a year. I think he's an exception.
Mm-hmm. So Tua's not going to die.
Not any sooner than anybody else.
Holding you to that.
He's a gifted athlete. He's got a lot of benefits associated with the fact that he's a starting quarterback who's now riding a big wave for the Miami Dolphins.
We need to stop doing this. Whittingham, do you have something for Ron McGill?
Do animals have preferred hands and legs that they do think? Like, are there lefties and righties in the animal kingdom?
Absolutely there are. Yes, absolutely there are. You know, a good way, for instance, when you look at elephants, elephants are either left tusks or right tusks. And you can see that by the size of their tusks and the way the tusks are worn. They will favor one tusk to knock down trees or to get roots or whatever they're doing with the tusks. Same things with different animals. You know, a cheetah can be right pawed or left pawed. When a cheetah goes after its prey, it'll either go to trip it with its right foot or its left foot, depending on which one it favors. So they definitely have a favorite side to their extremity, so to speak.
But what service does that provide for them, like being left tusk or right tusk for an elephant?
It's not a service. It's just something they seem to be born with and adapted, just like a left-handed person and a right-handed person. They're not playing football against each other. There's no Tua elephant that's going to be left tusk and have an advantage because he's left tusk.
There is
that's
Alabama.
What you're going to get back to your Billy.
Right.
Ron, we're also in the thick of hurricane season. I know we've talked before about the scenes at Zoo Miami during Hurricane Andrew, but I was curious if there was a longer-term environmental, ecological effect to hurricanes. Are there animals that had a habitat in a certain area, but after a natural disaster or hurricane, their lives are completely unended and they have to take up life somewhere else?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we had the Pine Rockland Forest here pretty much decimated by Hurricane Andrew when it came through here. And there was a lot of altering of the habitat and a lot of species kind of disappeared. But at the same time, a lot of new species came in. For instance, when the pines were all twisted and they died, we had a ton of woodpeckers come in because all of a sudden this was like housing available for these guys. All these dead trees, all these dead trunks, we had a ton of woodpeckers come in. And with the woodpeckers coming in, they would eat various insects and kind of push those insects out. So environments change very quickly. Same thing with coral reefs. Coral reefs get really changed in big storms. So that can affect, you know, the balance of the reef and the coastlines. So yes, storms have an effect, but it's not always negative. You can always have a positive effect to it, too. It might be negative for some species, but positive for others. That's the balance of ecosystems.
The Australian government has once again warned against domesticating kangaroos after the second death in 100 years, which begs the question, what can Tua do to get Cedric Wilson more involved in the offense?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what the hell that question has to do with the other question.
Is there an animal in the animal kingdom with a more literal name than a woodpecker? Maybe a hawk?
Yeah, there's a flycatcher. How about that?
Andre Dawson.
A hawk?
Don't hawks like hawk? Aren't they hawking? Like
hawk as a verb?
Am I wrong?
I mean, I suppose you can be a ball like, hawk, but what I don't
I think he's right.
Okay, Billy, thank you. You were great this segment, supporting everybody. Ron,
no, but when you're a ball hawk, you're the actual bird.
Yes. Yeah. That's what yes. I have a question for Ron. Ron, I had a situation just a couple of weeks ago. I'm standing in my garage. I'm standing right next to a snake, and I didn't know what to do. I was terrified, so I shut the garage door because it was right, you know, it was right at the place where if I shut it, perhaps it would get caught in the garage door, and it worked. So the head was sticking inside the garage. The tail was sticking outside of the garage.
You trapped it, and it was furious.
And I was going to behead it, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't do that, but I'm wondering, what do you do in that spot? And the snake didn't die. I mean, it was fine. It didn't die. I'll tell you what I did, but I'm wondering, what do you do in that spot?
What I do is I walk towards the snake with maybe a broom or a rake, and the snake then goes away.
Right. Okay. That's what my wife did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. You don't need to close garage doors on the snake.
Well, you gotta take the
Greg Williams snake, approach.
Right. The snake stayed there and let the garage door close on it because I don't think any snake is really that lacking of intelligence. So I'm surprised at this story. I don't know whether you have fabricated it or not.
I have not. Wow. Ron, how about the time? So credit on the timing where I closed the door perfectly right in the middle of the snake. How about that? Crazy.
But Ron McGill does not believe you. You don't think that
that happened.
You don't think it's possible to do that, Ron?
You know, if the snake was maybe 8 feet long, yes. But how big was the snake there, Stugatz?
It was like 4 or 5 feet, something like that.
Okay, so really probably about 2 feet, right?
Yeah.
So then basically the situation here is that I do not see a 2-foot snake staying in one spot. As you hit the garage door,
right,
and the garage door vibrates and starts coming down, the snake is going to move. It's not going to stay there and say, oh, wait, let me see if this garage door can get me right in the middle in half.
Right.
That's nothing to do with your timing. There's no fast garage door that's going to do that. So I think, Stugatz, here, you're trying to illuminate yourself. And you've really, what you've done is you've proven that you will fabricate things to make yourself look good.
Rod, I am telling you, this happened. I have witnesses. It happened. The snake did move. No, Rod, the snake did move. It tried to move from outside to inside.
Can you guys call Abby?
Nailed it.
Can you guys call Abby, please? We'll get. We'll find out what is true here and what's not true. J.J. Watt also tweeted out a couple of weeks ago, Ron, that he found a baby rattlesnake in his bathroom in Arizona. What is he supposed to do there?
You know, listen, it's a rattlesnake. It's going to bite if you try to move it. J.J. Watt has the, you know, financial ability to call a licensed trapper to come get the snake. And, you know, depending on where he saw it, if he saw it in a place where it's going to escape, the best thing to do is, listen, it's a rattlesnake. I don't know how big it was, but get a long broom, a long rake or something. Keep it at bay until you can get a professional person to come in there and remove it.
Knowing J.J. Watt the way I do, he probably waved an American flag at it. I mean, and he thanked the troops and then took a picture with the snake.
Ron, thank you, sir. We appreciate your time, as we always do.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Ron.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Don Levitard.
Fans cheer that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you.
I know. You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Greg Cody has been in makeup, and he will be reemerging in a moment. But let me ask the room, does anyone believe Stugatz's story? I want to get the entire story now, because I believe there was a snake.
Bet against me, boys.
All right, let's see what we have here. Let's see what's true and what's not true. Abby, thank you for joining us, as always. Can you guys remember what it is we were trying to get Abby on about?
Laundry.
The recent lie that we thought that Stugatz told. But what happened, Abby, and thank you, as always, for being the truth teller in your family. What happened with the snake recently? Can you tell us the entire story?
What happened? So all of a sudden, he had the door slam. John walks in. He's like, there's a snake. Move. Get inside. Like, I'm like, okay, what happened to it. He's like, I closed the garage and half of it's in, half of it's out. Should we call the Rover guy who comes around? I'm like, no, I'll just push it out of the garage. And he said, no, you're brave. You can't do that. He goes, he kept saying, do you think I got bit? And I was like, did you get bit? He would know.
I felt something happen. I did. I felt something on my leg. It was weird.
All he kept saying is, do you think I got bit? I'm like, don't you think if you got bit by a snake, you would know?
Yeah.
And he's like looking on his legs and he's like,
don't think I did.
Yeah. Yeah, he still thinks he got bit by a snake, but there's no sign of a bite anywhere on his body.
Right.
So he was hiding in the house when I went in the garage and took a broom, opened the garage. I brushed the snake out and I saw him watching through the window. And I said, I did it. He goes, I know, you're so brave. He goes, but I'm sure it's going to get back in. But regardless.
All right. The big upset here is that he seems to be telling the truth. So you came out and the snake was indeed trapped on the garage door?
Yes. Half of it was in and half of it was out of the garage. He closed the garage on it. He thought it was dead. But it wasn't. So.
I told the truth.
Nobody's more surprised than I am. How can you explain to us his level of fear and whether you're so used to this at this point that you love him and understand him and you don't see it as an act of cowardice to run into the house and allow you to handle it?
I mean, I love him. I don't understand him. And the level of fear was like where he said, just call the Rover who drives around. But I'm sure he wanted me to call the police or, I don't know, 911 or someone to help. But, of course, as usual, I took care of it. I mean, he thought the snake was fat. Like, I took a broom, swept it out, and he couldn't believe. He was looking through the window. Like, couldn't believe I did that. All he cared about when I came in, all he cared about was if he had a snake bite. That's all he kept saying. Do you think I got bit?
And he didn't know.
Guillermo,
I started feeling dizzy.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Have you ever asked anyone else whether you have been bitten by a snake?
It's a fair point by you.
It's an unbelievable question. I believe I can travel the entirety of Earth and not find anybody who's asking that question when they haven't come close to being bitten.
Right. Or how would I know? Like, wouldn't you know if you were bit? That's what I don't know.
You never know.
The adrenaline starts kicking in.
Thank you, Billy.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've already established, he said earlier, moms are always right. So
perhaps
he just thought you would know better than him because you're more trustworthy.
Except that one case with Mike's mom.
Thank you, Abby. We appreciate your time. That's a huge upset right there. Ron McGill accusing Stugatz of lying and Stugatz telling the truth on that one. I think we all got caught off guard.
You want to press your luck on the laundry question?
Let's ask that question again. And if you're asking me to, then this means this is also a winner.
Yeah.
What's the accusation that you love doing laundry and you often do laundry?
And like folding laundry.
You like folding laundry and often do it.
Okay. I mean, the first part's true. He does fold laundry often, definitely not. You know, when I'm away for a day or... I don't even know, but no, often I definitely wouldn't use the word often, but
betrayal. I mean,
a betrayal.
I mean, she knows I love to do laundry. I mean, I do it. Listen, often for me is, you know, once a month, something like that, you know?
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Fair.
Vinny.
You do it once a month. You don't do laundry. You fold the laundry once a month.
Congratulations, Stugatz.
Thank you, two for two.
This is a real triumphant moment for you. Congratulations. Abby, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate
it. Okay, bye.
Chris Cody, before we get to Mike Schur here, and we got to bring Greg Cody in. He is in makeup. At some point, he will make an appearance. Chris Cody and I have been laughing about whatever Dana White is doing with that cooking show on Twitter. I don't know what he's doing, where he appears to grab a meal that a chef has prepared and present it as his own. Chris Cody, how would you describe to everybody what it is that Dana White is doing? You've said, I think, that it's the strangest recurring thing that you have seen on
the
social
internet,
media.
Something that comes out every week. It is the oddest, just more, like, I see it, and I'm like, what is this? It's Dana White. He calls it F*** It Friday, and it's some random, like, you know, mac and cheese waffles. Hey guys, it's F***ing Friday. We're here at UFC Studios. We're doing mac and cheese waffles. All right. And then he clearly isn't making it. Somebody's doing all the work for him. It's like, all right, you use this ingredient. Here we go. We're going to try it. Not bad. Not bad. All right. Good F***ing Friday, guys. See you later. It's just like, does he like have this dream of like being a Guy Fieri? I don't know what's going on. It's so strange. And it's like not entertaining. It's just a minute of him taking a bite of a piece of food and being like, hey guys, F*** It Friday.
I think I would watch a documentary that was honest about his life, because he says he's got the greatest the limit in Vegas that there is for gambling, that he bets $150,000 on two hands, and that he'd bet $1 million if he could per hand. He says he's got the highest. I mean, he's throwing the money he's not paying to his fighters. He's throwing to the Vegas casinos. And I saw him do a tour of his hotel room in Houston, and it had a basketball court and a weight room. It's a hotel room unlike any hotel room I have ever seen, which it was the grandest thing, making all of that money off of fighters who aren't getting enough of that money as he bets. And he wants to bet $1 million a hand. And I would love, what is he trying to do with that show?
I don't know. It's so out of character. It's just like, I'm a food critic guy now. I don't know if he's trying to carve a lane. Maybe it's just a hobby of his. It's just every time I see it, it's every Friday. I'm enjoying my Friday, and it just like sends me into this like, what is this?
Rich
Why?
People get bored,
huh? Yeah.
Rich people get bored. They just want to do other things.
Like, was this something that like, did he have a meeting with his whole team? Like, I want to branch out. I want to show the other side of
show
me.
Show my range.
Like, I'm just like, what was the game plan? Did he go to his people? Like, I'm into food. I'm doing this. Like, it just. Every time it gets me.
A secret desire to host a cooking show. He's chosen the wrong path in life on where he gets his self-worth from his work.
I want to join a sports talk show and give a stat of the day every day.
We're going to get to that in a second with Mike Schur. We got to go get Greg Cody out of makeup. Let's take a break. This segment requires Greg Cody. We're going to go get Greg Cody, and we'll be right back.
Don Lebatard.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, who is a source of constant frustration and entitlement and narcissism. This is what he says. This is either the last Back in My Day as a regular series or the first of a new phase in which Back in My Days are occasional, not every week. So he has just announced officially his laziness.
Stugatz.
I want to make him an occasional series.
I am once a week.
But no, I think more occasional. Right. I think every time you don't have a Back in My Day, you can't do the show. I think
Okay, that's fine, because I have a contract. So if you want to pay me for not doing the show.
That's fine. We can pay him for doing nothing. We already do.
That's a good one. I got no retort for that.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Greg Cody is finishing up in makeup here on a Greg Cody Tuesday. Mike Schur has been kind enough to do Stat of the Days for way too long for us as part of his work at Meadowlark Media. The payoff, his grit of death punishment, is he is meant to look like Steve Harvey on Family Feud when he was wearing some sort of green suit of some sort. We have the picture somewhere. He'll be in here in a moment. But in the interim, let's go ahead and do Stat of the Day with Mike Schur.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day.
It is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Congratulations to the New York Mets. Stugatz's New York Mets clinched the playoff spot last night. They entered this last month of the season with a $273.9 million payroll, which has them on track to lead the majors in payroll for the first time ever, or at least, depending on how you calculate it, for the first time since 1989. In 1989, their entire payroll was $21.3 million, which, adjusted for inflation, is about $50 million, or roughly what Max Scherzer and Trevor May will make this year. So good luck to the New York Mets in the playoffs.
$273.9 million.
One of the most enjoyable, amusing things about the general pandemic greed in sports, it all revealed as business, is just how much these owners have been ripping off these players. And now we see in baseball where they don't have a salary cap. Oh my God, they've all been underpaid. Giancarlo Stanton's contract that got doubled for Soto, and he turned it down. Like, that's been a crazy development, has it not?
It has, but Dan, if you don't mind, I see Greg Cody there, and something just occurred to me. Is today Tuesday?
It is yes. Greg Cody, yeah. Tuesday. He does not look a lot like Steve Harvey.
Looks like Tony Clifton.
I'm your man, Steve Harvey. We got a good one today on the Family Feud.
Let's just not try to do voices.
Yes.
I didn't realize, you'll have to excuse me, I didn't realize today was Tuesday. Would you mind, I know this is not really my job as an unpaid stats intern, but would you mind terribly if I just said a few words?
You're just saying a few words?
I have a few thoughts, I have a few words I'd like to express, if that's okay with you.
Yes. Are these like prepared speech writing? Like, or
this is just off the top of my head. I'd like to just say a few words. If I don't know, Chris, do you have any imaging you could play?
Did Greg die?
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy.
My shirt.
With back in my day.
Professionalism. Recently, my dishwasher broke. The simple act of loading it with my soiled tableware and pushing the gently pulsing power button resulted in a deluge of water wafting across my kitchen floor, a swelling tide of soapy effluence that sent me scrambling for a mop and cursing like Earl Weaver arguing with Ron Luciano. My clumsy attempt to fix the damnable device resulted in the latest in a string of home improvement embarrassments. Sadly, when it comes to handyman acumen, I was born with two left thumbs. So I swallowed my pride and called a dishwasher repairman who said he'd be over toot sweet no later than 4 p.m. But as the hour grew nigh, I was chagrined to find that no tool-belted appliance genius had arrived to rescue me from my swampy travails. No mustachioed wrench wizard would be traipsing through my kitchen, putting his mysterious skills on display, winking confidently with a jaunty all set as his eyes lingered just a bit too long on my wife's corporeal form. Despite what was promised over the phone, I realized with a scowl, no one was coming to save me. Now I say I was chagrined, and indeed I was, but I was not surprised, because too often nowadays, folks, people simply do not honor their commitments. When I was a bright-eyed undergraduate, I learned that the phrase, my word is my bond, dates back to Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice. That plays out-of-date anti-Semitism notwithstanding. If it was good enough for the Bard of Avon, it ought to be good enough for us.
Ooh.
When we say we are going to do something, damn it, we ought to do it. Whether we're handymen, podcasters, or, just as one example off the top of my head, Miami Herald columnists who come onto a podcast once a week to read a brief personal essay about how much you miss the sound of Roy Orbison playing through an AM radio.
Yeah.
The internet tells me that the word Tuesday comes from the Norse god Tyr, who allowed his hand to be eaten by a monstrous wolf in order to save the world. How ironic that on a day named after a god who made such a huge sacrifice, some of us can't be bothered to sacrifice a modicum of our time to write something we promised we would write. It's not like it's hard. Hell, I wrote this essay yesterday afternoon while running a TV show and pitching another one, and the whole thing took me about 9 minutes. Hit me one time, Chris Whittingham.
Look at me.
Yes. Now, you see that? Witty was ready with that sound because he knows that's part of his job. Just like Chris Cody knows it's his job to shorten two-word phrases into one stupider word. And Billy knows it's part of his job to derail the show with a long, irrelevant soliloquy and bring everything to a grinding halt.
What do you mean?
It's not like there's a shortage of subjects to write about. Plenty of stuff is worse now than it was back in your day. Baseball cards, magazines, shopping malls, governors of Florida, ping pong paddles. Just pick a topic and run with it. And if you can't run very far, then write about how running shoes just ain't what they used to be. You owe it to your teammates, to your friends, to your literally dozens of fans all over the globe. But most importantly, you owe it to yourself. I'm Mike Shore, and that's how it was back in my day.
Greg Cody, do you have a back in my day today?
Well, Steve Harvey does not. I can't speak for Greg. I will say, Mike Shore, that was beautifully written. You got a future in writing.
You don't have
it
one?
It took a dark turn.
You don't have a back in my day today? A guy who
I do not, no.
Well, it's Steve Harvey's in today.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
it's not
Steve
Greg.
Harvey
right.
is not yeah. known
Steve Harvey
for back
Tuesday.
In my day.
Right. Right.
But
yeah,
how
exactly.
do you not have
right.
a back in my day today? Mike Shore doesn't have to have a back in my day, and he just farted out a back in my right. day in his spare time.
No, pretend like that was Greg's.
Right. Filling yeah. in for Greg. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Steve's right. here today, though.
One yeah, to Tuesday, Dan. Yeah.
Right.
You have a Lobos
Steve.
Update, Mike Shore?
Oh.
You know, I should have done a Lobos update. God damn it.
Boy, do the Lobos have
I
a game.
Steve Harvey has one of those.
Steve Harvey's got a Lobos
no,
update.
No,
I'll tell you
no,
that.
It is
yes.
time now for a weekly yes. update on our favorite team,
no.
Rex Lobos.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Harvey.
Here is their head coach and president of football operations, Greg Cody.
Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah. We do not care about continuity.
Steve Harvey doesn't have a back in my day, but Steve Harvey does have a Greg Cody Lobos update.
Steve Harvey's got a Greg's Lobos update.
Before you get to it, Steve Harvey, it's presented by Visible. Switch today at visible.com.
You're damn right it does. Low, low, low your boat gently toward the dream. The Lobos won. Get this, fantasy players worldwide. You'll love the number. The Lobos won with 194 points.
Whoa.
In a double quarterback league, guess who we had? Eljack and Tua.
Whoa.
83 points combined. Nick Chubba-Dub-Dub with 31 points. We criticized our wide receivers last week. Well, guess what? CD and T and CD came through, combined for 33 points. The Lobos could do no wrong. The Lobos are now 1-1 and rowing. Three words, we are the Lobos. And guess what? There's a new national anthem out all over the airwaves right now. It's called Low, Low, Low Your Boat. I want everybody to join in with me. It's called Low, Low, Low Your Boat Gently Toward the Dream.
Low, low, low your boat gently toward the dream.
Melly?
Thank you, Mike Schur, for doing the job that Greg Cody won't. He is here just to feed his narcissisms. Thank
low,
you.
Low your boat, Mike Schur.
Just thank you. Absolutely unshameable.
Yes,
it's just amazing.
Thank you.
Instantly
thank
shift
you.
Gears.
And the second most unshameable one in this room. Like, it's under. Do you know how hard that is?
Low, low, low your boat.